Yeah, we talk about renewable energy, we talk about batteries, we talk about net zero. What we don't talk about is the fact that Australia is the third largest fossil fuel exporter in the world, behind Russia and Saudi Arabia, and we're going big. And that's why, you know, jump ahead perhaps, why are all these mines getting built now?
Yeah.
Well, we're worried we won't be able to sell coal in 20 years' time.
One for Mum, one for Dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian.
Budgets are about choices, Fran, and you show what you value through the choices you make.
Dead, buried, cremated.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
How good is Australia?
Just follow the money.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Institute, and at the moment there is a by-election happening in the Upper Hunter in New South Wales, and that by-election is shining a spotlight on a pet project of the Australia Institute's, a moratorium on new coal mines.
The Upper Hunter by-election, triggered by a sex scandal, will now be held on...
Labor has announced their candidate for the Upper Hunter by-election in Singleton's
Lane. I'm a coal miner and a proud coal miner.
It's maybe out of step with Labor voters in the region, according to a recent poll which was conducted by think tank the Australia Institute.
A new poll by the Australia Institute today reveals that 57.4% of voters in the Upper Hunter support Malcolm Turnbull's call for a moratorium on new coal mine approval.
Australia Institute survey of nearly 700 people finding 59% want the government to hit pause on new mining approvals while allowing existing mines to continue.
The Hunter Valley is a coal mining area of Australia, quite a big one. But there's a big misconception that coal mining is the biggest employer in the region, and people tend to overestimate the size and contribution of the mining sector, both to the New South Wales economy and the wider Australian economy, as long-time listeners will know. So in a recent report, the Australia Institute crunched the numbers on how many new coal mines are on the books in New South Wales in a report that was supported by former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull.
Do you agree with this call from the Australia Institute for a freeze or moratorium on coal mining approvals in New South Wales?
Absolutely. I think it is out of control. There are mines being approved which would have capacities vastly in excess of the demand for coal that exists.
Coal is king.
90% of the income comes through most places like this would be from a result of coal. You can't turn them off.
Malcolm Turnbull is poison.
I think he's a miserable old ghost.
That report and Malcolm Turnbull's interview on that report has had quite an impact on the national debate as well as in the by-election campaign. And so to talk about that report and the issue of coal mining in New South Wales, I'm joined by our chief economist, Richard Dennis. G'day, Richard.
Hey, Ebony.
So, Richard, first of all, tell me about this actual Australia Institute report.
So what we did was we looked at all the new coal mines that are being proposed in New South Wales at the moment. Now, there's 23 new coal mines proposed in New South Wales, and 11 of them, some of the biggest ones, 11 new coal mines in the Upper Hunter alone. Now, the Upper Hunter is already kind of the heart of the coal industry in New South Wales. And to put it into perspective, the 11 new mines in the Upper Hunter, if they were to go ahead, would produce the equivalent of 10 Adani's worth of new coal production.
Right.
So if an Adani is our new unit of account and you're worried about the Adani coal mine in Queensland, which you absolutely should be, there's the equivalent of 10 new Adani's getting proposed to be built in the Hunter Valley right now.
And just to be clear, are you talking about the Adani proposal as it was originally or the kind of smaller thing that they've got going now?
No, our current unit of account of Adani is around 10 million tonnes, which is the kind of size Adani mine that they're currently talking about building.
But okay.
To be clear, that's a big mine by world standards.
And so I guess if you listen to a lot of the debate around the energy transition and tackling climate change, people might get the impression that there's a transition underway, but there really isn't one if we're talking about 23 new mines in New South Wales.
No, let's be clear, Australia is transitioning into fossil fuels. 10 years ago, we didn't export any gas from the east coast of New South Wales. Now, Australia is the largest exporter of liquid-fired natural gas, LNG.
Yeah, we overtook Qatar, didn't
we? You bet we did. Go us! So we've massively transitioned into gas exports in recent years. We're opening up new basins like the Galilee in Queensland, which since Federation, there's not a single ton of coal has been mined in the Galilee, but we're transitioning into coal in the Galilee. And yeah, as this report focuses on, 23 new mines in New South Wales, 11 new mines in the Upper Hunter alone, we're transitioning into more and more coal production. So yeah, we talk about renewable energy, we talk about batteries, we talk about net zero. What we don't talk about is the fact that Australia is the third largest fossil fuel exporter in the world, behind Russia and Saudi Arabia, and we're going big. And that's why, you know, jump ahead perhaps, why are all these mines getting built now?
Yeah.
Well, we're worried we won't be able to sell coal in 20 years' time.
Yeah. So
we're getting in while the getting's good.
Exactly. So when we've discussed this in the past, you've used an analogy about ice cream. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one. Yes, I do. I do remember that one. Yeah, so imagine you are, oh, that was a good one, but that's from years ago. Yeah, so imagine you owned an ice cream shop and your refrigerator broke and you've got a shop full of ice cream. What would you do? Well, if you're going to try and maximize profit, you'll sell as much ice cream as you can. You'll drop your price. You'll just try and get it out the door.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in Australia at the moment. So you've got a whole bunch of people who've been thinking, maybe one day I'll kind of go through the paperwork of getting a mine approved. Maybe one day I'll build that coal mine. Well, one day is just getting closer and closer. So we've got this record number of new coal mines seeking approval right now because, yeah, everyone can see the ice cream's melting.
Here's the problem. Coal mining in the Hunter is a transient business. We are not going to be mining coal in the Hunter in 30 years' time.
Well, then why are people asking for planning approval?
Because they're seeking to get mines. They're all trying to get in before the party ends.
So going back to this idea of a transition and that we're actually transitioning into more coal mines, that's actually at a time when world demand for coal is falling. What is that going to do in the port of Newcastle, which is one of the biggest exporters of coal? Talk me through the economics in that area in particular.
Yeah, look, you know, 10 years ago, the coal industry in Australia was very optimistic. They talked about China buying lots of coal and India buying lots of coal. And, you know, there was just going to be coal as far as the eye could see. And they wanted to build an enormous new coal loader at the port of Newcastle to facilitate all of this growth. The T4 terminal was the name for it. Anyway, they got approval for the T4 terminal, but they decided not to build it. The port went, yeah, I know we're allowed to, but let's face it, no one's going to buy that much coal.
Yeah.
So what we're doing at the moment is we're looking at approvals for 11 new mines, 10 Adani's worth of mines in the Upper Hunter. If they all got built, all that coal wouldn't fit on the railway lines. If they got built, all that coal wouldn't actually fit out the port.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing again is this sort of, they're playing end game. The ice cream's melting, everyone's rushing. But all the moratorium call is to say, we need some sort of plan here, kids.
Yeah.
Like, I know you all want to build coal mines. That's very exciting for each of you individually. But collectively, all that coal won't fit on the rail. Collectively, all that coal won't fit out the port. Collectively, all those mines would be devastating for air pollution and the amenity in the Hunter. And collectively, you're kidding yourself, the world doesn't need that much coal.
Yeah.
So what we've called for and what Malcolm Turnbull got in so much trouble for was saying, well, what if we paused the new mine approvals and came up with a plan for how, if at all, we're going to develop new coal mines. Really heady stuff. Big bureaucratic call for a pause and a plan.
Yeah. So I guess the idea of a moratorium, you know, might sound scary to some people, but talk
Mark
us through...
Mark Latham's very scared.
Yes. So talk us through what the idea behind the moratorium and the pause, and it's not really saying shut down all coal mining in New South Wales tomorrow. It's
no.
just... could we please stop approving new coal mines that probably aren't going to get built?
Exactly. So let's think of it this way. And I've not heard anyone advocate this, but let's say the extreme left position or the extreme green position is to shut down all the coal mines tomorrow.
Yep.
Haven't heard anyone propose it, but let's just park that as the extreme left position. And then the crazy right-wing position is, hey, how about we build 23 new coal mines in the middle of the world transitioning away from coal? Well, if the extreme left is shut it all down and the extreme right is to double production, surely you can't get more sensible centre than saying, well, what if we just stopped building new ones? What if we let the existing coal mines keep mining? And by the way, the existing coal mines are currently running well below capacity.
Yeah.
Right? The existing coal mines have laid off staff. They've had long holidays over Christmas. Right? For 12 months, the coal industry's been struggling. So if we just say, look, we're not going to build any new coal mines for a while, that's actually the best way to protect coal workers in coal jobs.
Can you explain that for us?
Well, imagine you're in the tourism industry in Cairns at the moment.
Yep.
And there's no tourists and you work in a hotel and someone comes along and says, we're going to build a big new hotel to compete with the hotel that you work at.
That's not doing real well.
That's not doing real well. Like, this would be about as dumb as it gets. Well, here we've got all these coal mines in the Hunter Valley. And just Google it. It's not hard. Just Google coal mine, you know, shutdown. Google coal mine layoff workers. You'll find plenty of examples. So here we are in the Hunter Valley, the heart of coal mining, with a whole bunch of mothballed mines, shuttered mines, and mines running below capacity. And we've got the right-wing media saying, you know, if you really liked coal workers, you'd build a bunch of new automated mines to compete with the existing coal mines that are currently laying off workers.
Yeah.
Right. But in the kind of bizarre parallel universe that is the Australian media, that's taken seriously. The idea that building new mines to compete with existing struggling mines is, quote, good for coal workers, while Crazy Richard saying, have you ever heard of protectionist kids? Right? Usually, you know, what you do if you want to protect jobs for people in existing industries, if you really want to do that, and personally I do, then the easiest way to do that is to insulate them from new entrants, from new competition.
Mm.
So, yeah, so the right have got this sort of bizarre symbolic argument that announcing approval for a new coal mine is the way to show solidarity with the existing workforce in existing mines, when, of course, all a new coal mine is going to do is drive the price of coal down further and displace workers in existing coal.
So every new mine would actually be a threat to existing
Absolutely.
Jobs.
Absolutely. If you owned the only casino in town, would you be excited if I said I'm going to come and set up a new casino? Like, we know how this works.
Yeah.
Like, it's not complicated, although Mark Latham has called it the Dick Dennis Doctrine, which I'm actually a little bit proud of because my old high school friends call me Dick.
And the outlook for coal exports out of Australia is actually very good. An Albanese government that'll try and drive those jobs out of our country and export them to other countries.
Well, just be honest, that the coalers have a long-term future still, and we still can sell coal.
Because it's not just the miners that would lose their job if we shut down the coal industry. It's the coffee shops, it's the gift shops, it's the service stations.
Saga Mark Latham now says he's seriously considering running himself.
Yeah, thinking about it, because it really shows there are people inside the government, also the Labor Party, who'd wipe out completely the coal jobs.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that? Mark Latham, he's just a bit suspicious of this whole plan.
Well, he's also called me a leftist fairy. So I think he's, there's a few references in there we might be worried about, Mark. But
yeah.
Look, you can see the optics for him. You know, a bit of cosplay, put a helmet on, put a high-vis vest, stand in front of a truck and say to a
he
whole bunch...
You could get Matt Canavan's makeup
on. You could smear a bit of coal dust on his cheeks. And think about what's actually happening here. And we've done some polling, which I'll talk about in a minute. But what Mark Latham's actually doing is signalling to people in Sydney who've never seen a coal mine kind of whose side he's on.
Yeah.
Right? This is performance art. It's like, well, you've got your leftist fairies like Richard and I've got high vis and a hard hat. Hey, voters, pick.
Mm.
Pick a team. Whose side are you on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of have this sort of politics as performance art, when the underlying economics are really quite simple. The new coal mines are a threat to existing coal workers.
And so let's just stay on that threat to existing workers for a moment. And before we get into the polling that we've released today, we have in the past done quite a lot of work around misperceptions about the size of the coal industry and how much it contributes to the economy. I mean, what other industries are there in the Hunter Valley that are big employers besides coal, and how does it compare?
Yeah, well, let's start big picture. In Australia, 99.5% of Australians don't work in coal, right? There's about 50,000 people work in coal mining in Australia, and there's 25 million Australians. So let's be clear, almost no one works in coal mining in Australia. But in areas like the Upper Hunter, it really is quite intensive for coal mining. So while 99.5% of Australians don't work in coal, in the Upper Hunter, only 93% of people don't work in coal. Right? 93% of people in the Upper Hunter do not have a job in the coal mines. Now, of course, if we were going to shut down all the coal mines tomorrow, that would be bad for the 7% who do. But again, no one's actually proposing that. Mm-hmm. So when we look at the Upper Hunter, when we look at New South Wales, when we look at Australia, the very big employment industries in Australia are, for example, health. The health industry is an enormous employer. In most electorates, it's the biggest source of jobs. But you never see politicians slipping into robes and standing side by side with nurses and thanking them for being the backbone of the economy.
Yeah.
Well, they are in most electorates. The tourism industry is huge in the Hunter Valley. Horse breeding is really big. Winemaking, agriculture.
Do you know the Hunter Valley has a thoroughbred industry which is being really put at risk by the advance, relentless advance of coal mining? It is the second largest thoroughbred breeding centre in the world outside of Kentucky. The veterinary practice at Scone alone is the largest veterinary practice in the Southern Hemisphere. These are well-paid jobs. It's a huge industry. And you know what? It'll be around in 100 years.
And one of the problems, well, there's so many problems with all these proposed new mines, but most of these new mines, if they were all approved tomorrow, they wouldn't all be built.
Yeah.
But the minute they're approved, the neighbours are never going to invest. No one's going to build a hotel looking out over a valley that might have a coal mine in it.
Yeah.
No vineyard that just had its neighbour get a coal mine approved is going to further invest in improving its grapes.
Mm.
If you've got a horse stud and your neighbour gets an enormous coal mine that's going to be kilometres long and make dust all day long, you're not going to invest in the area. So if new coal mines get built, they're going to cannibalise jobs in existing mines. But if the new coal mines don't get built, they're going to deter investment in tourism and agriculture and horse breeding and everything else, which again is why we need a Hunter-wide plan.
And so at the moment there's a by-election occurring up there, and we did some polling to really test this idea of whether or not there is support for a moratorium on new coal mines. What did that show?
Well, it showed that around 60% of people in the Upper Hunter, in the seat of the Upper Hunter, 60% specifically supported a moratorium on building new coal mines. And what's really interesting is that the National Party voters, 54% of National Party voters, supported Malcolm Turnbull's coal moratorium. We included Malcolm Turnbull's name in the poll. And Shooters, the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party, it's important we remember the second F, the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party, 57% of their voters support a moratorium on building new coal mines. So again, for the dress-up artists that talk about coal as a symbol, then, you know, this is a really easy thing. Let it rip. Let's approve 23 new mines to show solidarity with the idea of coal. But for the communities that actually live near or work in coal mines, they get it.
Yeah.
New coal mines aren't going to lead to more coal exports. We could get more coal exports out of the existing mines if people wanted to buy it. But the new coal mines are going to discourage investment in other industry.
How on earth are private companies owned by foreign shareholders being allowed to devastate Australian farming land, devastate Australian communities, when we all know that when that mine comes to an end, assuming it ever does, how will they pay to rehabilitate it?
Well, what's the other question that we asked about was the idea that mining companies should have to pay an upfront bond to cover the cost of rehabilitating these old mine sites once they do cease operations. And what did that polling find?
Look, the public are overwhelmingly in favour of this. And to be clear, there are small rehabilitation bonds currently, but the bonds don't come anywhere near being enough to actually take these enormous pits, voids, they call them, and turn them back into anything that resembled the original landscape. So, yeah, look, the reality is the community wants to see serious obligations placed on these mining companies. And the problem is that as the mine gets closer and closer to the end of life, the mines typically get bought by smaller and smaller companies with weaker and weaker balance sheets. And, oh, wouldn't it be terrible if at the end of the day one of the mines that had an obligation to do full rehabilitation just didn't have the resources to do it.
Yeah.
So it's us, the community and the taxpayer, that take on that risk.
So basically it's the same risk as that oil rig that's off the coast that
exactly.
we have to pay an undisclosed amount every year.
That's right. You know, so, and this is an old trick. Mm. You know, this is a very old trick. And one of the other old tricks is these mines kind of never get shut down. They just kind of get mothballed.
Yeah.
Because if they're mothballed, you don't have to rehab them.
Yeah.
So you just kind of keep it there, you know, a zombie mine that never quite closes.
Yeah, and never quite gets rehabilitated.
Oh, what an unintended consequence.
Yeah. So I guess I want to come back to the politics of it. So as you said, Malcolm Turnbull got in quite a bit of trouble for supporting this
Naughty
call
Malcolm.
For a moratorium.
The former Prime Minister, who is so bitter and twisted about his removal that he spent the following 2.5 years doing everything in his now non-existent power to discredit the government.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredibly stupid.
But I can give you a story right now, breaking for you, Ray, is that this morning, just now, Matt Keane has agreed that he won't proceed with the appointment of Malcolm Turnbull as chair. He's rescinding that appointment.
I made the decision to withdraw or to rescind the nomination. I didn't do that because Nukes Corp dictated terms to me, that's for sure.
The saddest thing about it all was the way Matt Keane, the minister, a good man, you know, very committed to taking action, had to then go to the Daily Telegraph and be quoted in it saying, oh, News Corp had nothing to do with this decision.
What's happened and what is the politics that we're seeing play out?
Look, you know, Malcolm Turnbull was appointed by the New South Wales government to chair a new advisory board to help the New South Wales government transition to net zero by 2050. So if New South Wales thinks it can and should transition to net zero by 2050, and Matt Keane, the Environment Minister, said on Four Corners this week, look, renewables and batteries are just cheaper than coal and gas.
The cheapest way to now deliver electricity or energy is a combination of wind, solar, pumped hydro and renewable technologies. So it's not fossil fuels, it's now cleaner energy. Those people defending old technologies are the equivalent of defending Blockbuster and Netflix world.
If renewables are cheaper than coal and gas, wouldn't we assume the rest of the world is going to be installing that as well?
Yeah.
So we've got this net zero target for 2050, which Malcolm Turnbull was appointed by the New South Wales Cabinet to help plan for. And then in his private capacity, he's a landholder in the Upper Hunter. He put in an objection to a mine and he was asked, what do you think of this moratorium idea? And he supported it.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wearing his renewable energy advising hat when asked this question. He made that quite clear. But he poked the bear. You know, he transgressed. He committed the ultimate heresy in Australian public debate, and that is to suggest that maybe the coal industry is talking crap.
Yeah.
So while Malcolm Turnbull, I think, supported a sensible centrist proposition that the majority of National Party voters support, the Conservative coal commentariat just went batshit crazy.
Mm.
And because there's a by-election in the Upper Hunter and because it was a National Party MP who had to step down, he was accused of rape, he admitted to texting a sex worker in question time.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that at the moment.
No.
No one's talking about the fact that the reason we had a by-election was because of the behaviour of this National Party MP.
Yeah.
You know, the weights came
we
out.
We should say he denies the rape allegations,
He does deny the rape. rape allegation, but the text messages have been provided. Yeah. We know what he was doing when he was sitting in question time. He decided to step down, and we're not debating that.
Yeah.
So I think there's a wonderful distraction taking place, and there's also this straw man of, well, do you love coal or do you hate it? Shall we shut it down tomorrow or... you know, shall we dig it up and get wealth and prosperity? Malcolm Turnbull committed the sin of putting a sensible centrist option on the table.
And what happens for coal workers, Richard, if we continue to just keep put our heads in the sand and not admit that coal is declining and is on the way out?
Well, we miss out on all sorts of opportunities to plan for their future, for their community's future. I grew up in the Hunter Valley. I studied economics at Newcastle Uni. And when I was studying economics up there, BHP was shutting down.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people believe that Newcastle had no future with BHP. Go to Newcastle today, most people will say we're better off without it. The closure of BHP was incredibly traumatic for a lot of people. But because it was planned in large part, Newcastle managed so much better than other towns with similar closures of similar size. So it's not up to Mark Latham or John Barilaro how much coal the world wants to buy from us.
Yeah.
Right? That is above our pay grade. And Australia does have high-quality coal. That's actually true. The coal coming out of the Hunter has more energy and less ash per tonne than a lot of coal sold in the world. So the odds are the last tonne of coal ever exported will leave from the Port of Newcastle. But that doesn't mean that we're in charge of how much coal gets exported. And again, we cancelled the T4 terminal because the world didn't buy as much as we thought. There's mines up there at the moment running well under capacity right now.
Yeah.
So we can see the transition is underway. And if there's a, say there's a big bump in world demand next month or next year, guess what? The existing mines can meet it.
Yeah.
So, you know, to tell the people of the Hunter Valley, to tell the existing workers in coal mines, there's no worries, we don't have to plan, we don't have to transition, we don't have to coordinate, only lefties want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was Malcolm Turnbull described that as gaslighting the Hunter.
Mm.
You know, I think it's cruel. It's cruel of actual inner city elites, the people that get paid a fortune to write newspaper columns, to sit in Sydney and tell people in the Hunter, bugger your tourism industry and your wine industry, what you really need is more coal jobs.
Yeah.
You know, what our polling shows is not even the people in the Hunter think that.
So if you had one message for people in the Hunter today, what would it be?
Don't let people talk down to you. Anyone that's grown up in and around the Hunter knows that coal mining is incredibly disruptive to its neighbours. And again, no one's proposing to shut down the existing mines. People in the Hunter need to have a conversation with each other and with their elected members of parliament about what the best way to manage that conflict between mining and agriculture and tourism is. And it seems obvious that the best way is to take the enormous mines we've already built and get as much coal out of them as we can without scarring another enormous parts of the valley.
And keep the people employed there, employed for longer.
Keep the people in the existing work, coal mines working there for as long as we possibly can. Again, there is high quality coal going out of the Port of Newcastle. It might as well come from existing mines, but building new mines next door is just going to harm the workers in the existing mines and harm tourism and agriculture.
Mm. Well, we might leave it there. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Eb.
This episode was recorded on Tuesday the 13th of April, and things may have changed since recording. You can visit australiainstitute.org.au for all our latest research and content, including that report and the polling just mentioned by Richard. And we're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. My Twitter handle is ebony_Bennett with a double N double T, and Richard Dennis is at RDNS_TAI. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy with help from Eliza Closer, and our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Stay safe out there, stay 1.5 metres away, and thanks for listening.